So last summer, I heard this story. It was a story about a bunch of people who were at Panama City Beach. They were hanging out on the beach, and all of a sudden, they looked out into the ocean, and these two little boys were caught out in a rip current. And there was nothing that they could do. The boys were out there, and people were trying to respond, and different family members started going out, right? What you would do for your children, you try to go out to help them, and then they would get caught in the rip current. And over again, to the point where there were like 7 people out in the water caught. And this man, Derek Simmons, he goes out, and he got out to a certain point, and he said, I just can't get caught in this rip current, so he comes back. And he's feeling completely helpless. What are we going to do? These people are caught. It's very, very dangerous. We tell our kids when we go to the beach, this is how you deal with that if it happens. And the family's out there. And they've got this big problem. All these people, a huge group of them, have started gathering. They said, what are we going to do? And all of a sudden, Jessica Simmons has this great idea. She looks at all the people on the beach. There are about 80 people around at this point. And she says, what if we form a human chain? And they form this human chain out into the water, 80 people, and they save every one of them. One by one, they pull the people out of the rip current. One by one, they come out, and even the two little boys who were originally out in the water are safe. All is well. All because this woman said, hey, we have this problem. I'm looking around. No one seems to solve it. Everybody who's taking a risk and stepping out, they're falling into a worse place. So let's do something differently. I mean, that is an incredible story, right? It's a big story about people who saw a need in this community that they were a part of. They didn't know each other all that well at that point. But they looked out and they saw a need. And every single one of those people took a risk to do that. Because if they didn't, then they wouldn't have saved the people. But what they had seen was every other person who went out fell into the rip current. They got into trouble, but they worked together. What a story this is. And I have to tell you, this story back in July of last year went all over the place. It was viral. Anybody hear about it? Anybody hear when this happened? I mean, it was a big deal. A great story of a community coming together and working together. 2 weeks ago, we started a sermon series here, where we're talking about this idea of dreaming. How do we dream for what God might be calling us to as a church over the next 3 years? We're 3.5 years old now. How do we dream for what's next? And we took the dreams and things that people have been sharing, and we put them together, and we prayed over those, and out of it came this big campaign, this thing that we're doing. And we said last week, folks, I'd love for you to pray about how you might participate in this, how you might participate in helping us take this next step over the next 3 years and what God's calling us to, because I think there's something really big going on. First week, and this is all in this devotional guide. If you don't have one, we have extras over there. But the first week we talked about how part of our dream over the next 3 years is to build into our capital, into some of the things that we need to replace, like our truck, which is out there, and our projector so that folks can see the visuals on the screen, and our signage, because so many people say they come to church because they see our signs out on the street. And our kid care area and our live streaming so that people can experience that. And then last week we went deeper and we talked about kids and said, we really sense that God is calling us to go deeper in this school. So many people said their prayer is do more for the children, more than just feed them, more than just help them study. And we went to the principal and she said, hey, if you could buy classroom libraries for the classes, that would really help our kids. Then we heard from folks who are in this opportunity neighborhood gathering that's happening in our community, and they said, hey, what we really need is a place for kindergartners and first graders to go after school. Can you create an after-school program here in the school for kindergartners and first graders? So that's the other thing we talked about doing for kids. But this week I want to take us, this is our last week in this series of Dream, and I want to take us to this idea of God calling us to share all of this, not just keep it to ourselves. I was in North Carolina this week, and I was looking at a new church community. And it's a new church community because they had had a church there for 150 years, and up until 3 years ago, there were 7 people that were worshiping there. 7 people. And some folks came in and they said, hey, what if we looked at this differently and we turned this church into a community center? And we said, we're going to make this for the people who live around here because they have no community gathering area. And they said, we're going to make this for the people who live around here. And they haven't even opened it yet, by the way. And guess how many are worshiping there now? 40. 7 to 40, because they simply started saying, hey, we've got a story to tell. And we want to share this story with the world. And they've repurposed their church building, which I think a lot of churches should do. But there's a story that we have for restoration. There's a story that we have to share. Now, there's something that comes up when I talk about sharing this story. There's this word. And it's become a real dirty word in our culture today, and that word is evangelism. And it's a nasty word. Many people, as soon as they hear that word, sort of tense up. And I think it is less about the word, what the word means, and more about the experience you've probably had with it. Because you know what the word literally means, to share good news. Right? That's what the word literally means. Almost everybody I know likes good news, but we hear this word and many people cringe. And perhaps it's because you had an experience like you were standing in a shopping center one day and somebody comes up to the parking lot and they hand you this little pamphlet, and the pamphlet says, if you don't do A, B, C, and D, you're going to hell. Now, I don't know about you, but that's not a good news message for me. When someone says that to me, that doesn't sound like good news. And that's not the story. That's not the story of good news that we have to share. That's the story that we've moved into, that much of the church has become more comfortable with, because they think that if we tell it in that way, people will hear it as good news. But I want to ask you, does that sound like good news to you? If you don't, then hell is the answer. That doesn't feel like good news to me. That's what's called fear-based evangelism. Right? Fear-based evangelism, something that really kind of went rampant in like the 1950s and 60s. It was a big deal that churches started to share. We don't do fear-based evangelism here, by the way, if that's already making you uncomfortable. We don't do that. And in fact, I think the only people that fear-based evangelism works on now is children. Because a lot of parents use some fear-based parenting, right? If you don't, then you will. Right? And it's almost always this horrible punishment. But here's the problem with using fear-based evangelism with our children. I think when we use fear-based evangelism with our children, first of all, I don't agree with it. But my second problem is it absolutely cuts us off on what we were talking about last week. Last week, we talked about how children have this wonder of God and how we can experience that wonder if we spend time with them. But if we go to our kids and we give them fear-based evangelism, guess what it does? Stop wondering. Here's the answer. We know it all. Do A, B, C, and D, and then this will happen. Where's the creativity for our children? Where's the ability for them to experience more and more of the nature of God? I want to give us a different way of thinking about this week. I think I've shared this here in worship before, but I came across this meme again this week. It says, sometimes the best evangelism is simply telling people you're a Christian and then not being a complete jerk. Somebody said yes. Right? Sometimes the best evangelism is simply telling people you're a Christian and not being a complete jerk. Wow. How many of you guys, just raise your hand if you have one of these on your car. Okay, about a third of the room. Some of y'all don't put this on your car. And I know why you don't put it on your car. Because you are terrible drivers. And you are afraid that if somebody sees that your terrible driving is connected to the church, then this whole jerk part comes out in big ways. Some of you say, I like cutting people off on the street. I like when somebody's going slow that I'm going to go flying around them. And I like that finger that falls in the middle of the five. And if I put that on the back of my car, I can't do it. You know what I think? I think when y'all come to communion this morning, more of y'all ought to pick these up and put them on your car. And I think you need to not act like, oh, it's not fear-based. You need to not act like a jerk. Right? So much of it is simply not acting like a jerk. But here's the problem, even with churches like ours today, I think. Because I think we're working hard on this not being a jerk part. But the problem with this meme, as I was reading it this week, is there's another part of it. It's also about letting people know that we are Christians. Did you see that in it? It says, let people know that you're a Christian, and then don't act like a jerk. Many of us get real good at the not acting like a jerk part. Except when we're driving. That's why we got these. But we're called to let people know. Y'all, I think this is a great story. The story of Jesus is a great, powerful story. It's good news, and it's good news not because you shove it in people's face and say, if you don't do X, then Y will happen. It's good news because many people in our culture today feel no love whatsoever. And the message of Jesus is the greatest love story ever told. And most people that we interact with probably feel zero love. This is a great story about the redemptive power of Christ, and yet we often don't talk about it. We often don't do anything with it. We often don't even put a magnet on our car because we're afraid somebody might ask us about it. I was reading a passage in the Bible this week from Matthew chapter 5, and I want to read it to you. This is a story that's very familiar to me. It might be familiar to some of you. Some of you may never have heard it before, but I want to read it. These are the words of Jesus this morning. He says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if that salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light shine before others so that they might see that you're not a jerk, and glorify your Father in heaven." When I was a kid, we used to sing a little song about this. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Yesterday, Susan and I got up early. We watched the royal wedding. It was beautiful. We told our children they should watch it. They decided not to, but we watched the royal wedding. It was great. And as they were walking out, did you hear the song that was being sung? That song. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And see, I think what I've done in much of my life is I have written that song off and said it's a children's song. Right? I sang it as a kid. That's for kids. And Jesus is saying, sing that song. But sing it with your life, not with your mouth. Sing that song. Let your light shine. I think it might be one of the most important responses to Christianity in our lives. If I was going by that meme, we might change the song a little bit. It might be in Tim's new modern version of the song. This little light of mine, I'm not gonna be a jerk. This little light of mine, I'm going to stop being a jerk, right? I mean, we might change the words because then it might tell us how we act too. Not just to shine the light, but let the light shine brightly, not just in our words, but to claim our identity. Y'all, I think it's one thing to say we're Christians. I think it's another way to live, another complete different thing to live it out. That the world might see us and say, I don't know what's going on in your life, but I want to experience it. I don't know what you do, but I want to know. Guys, I think this is an issue that is big for the church. It's big for the kingdom of God. And what do I mean by that? It's big for helping usher in the way that God designed our world to be. Let us stop complaining about the world and let us do something about it. Let us stop saying everything sucks. Let us stop simply looking around us at every side and let us go, let us each individually shine light into the world. Because if we shine the light, if we shine the goodness of who God is, it will usher in the kingdom of God. People will get to experience that. Y'all, we have tons of information about Jesus. We could sit all day and sit down with somebody and tell them, you know, they could also use something else for that. It's called the internet. And they could find out all the stuff. This passage, I think, is telling us it's not enough to know facts. It's not enough to simply have knowledge about God or to study theology, the things of God. But we're supposed to live it out. We're supposed to live our lives in such a way that other people might get to experience it as well. One theologian, a person who studies this, says, as people who follow Christ, we have to be the activity of God in the world. Well, that's a powerful phrase. The activity of God. If you thought when you left this room today that you were the activity of God, how might you act differently? If I put that hat on every morning and I said, today I am the activity of God in the world, how might I live my life differently? So what are we planning to do at Restoration? How are we planning to do this? There are things that we want to do to help others experience the light. And I don't say that is help others get to all that we know and all they don't know. To help others experience the love of Jesus. Somebody was telling me this week, they said, you know what's really beautiful about Jesus? People interrupt him all the time. He's going from place to place and people interrupt him. And when they interrupt him, he stops and he talks to them. And he has conversation and he has relationship with them and he shares love with them. Every single person that interrupts and stops him. How are we going to do this? In this booklet that I told you about, it talks about different things that we're going to do. One is that we want to actually do a marketing campaign. A marketing campaign to let people know we are here at Forest Edge Elementary and we want to invite people to come in and experience community. A marketing campaign that takes us out into the community. Right now we spend about 3% of our budget on communications. 3%. You know how small that number is? We need to up our marketing. Have people who know what they're doing tell us how we can help people experience the joy of what's going on. We want to share that with people. So that's one of the things that we want to do. People often tell us that our signs and things are ways that they experience the church. We want to figure out how to help others experience this place. Secondly, out of Flores, which is our site over in Herndon and Restoration, we are launching another one of these out in Loudoun County. And we're doing this because we believe God is calling us to do this again. But Susan and I were talking last night, and I was telling her about this section of the sermon, and she said, Tim, I think you ought to give people a little bit more of the story of this. She said, when Flores started Restoration, people got together and they took a $400,000 chance. They raised money because there are many of you who weren't sitting in a seat in a church before they did that. They said, hey, we want to invest in people in our community. We want people in Reston, because that's where this one was planted, to know that they are loved. We want people in Reston to experience the joy of Christ. And I wonder how many of us, we're not going to raise hands, but how many of us can think back 3.5 years ago to a time when we didn't have a church that we felt anywhere near comfortable going into or walking into or experiencing, but because people gave, we now do. We now have a place that's a community where we feel welcomed and engaged and encouraged. That's what we want to do again in Loudoun County. Restoration is seeking to give $30,000 over the next 3 years to that, to start a place for families who don't even know they want it yet, who don't even know what they're going to experience. And Jake McLaughlin, who worships here at Restoration, is going to be the pastor that goes out and does that out in Loudoun County. So that's a way that we want to continue to share the news. Thirdly, when I read through your dream, so many people said, we need to connect with South Lakes High School. It's the Reston High School. It's the one that is actually in the physical limitations of Reston. There are students there who have so many challenges. I took an opportunity a couple of months ago to sit down with the principal. She gave me an hour and a half of her time. And what I found out during our conversation was they have no faith partner. There's nobody who's helping the school out from a faith perspective, meaning there are churches all over Reston and all over Herndon, and nobody's come to them and said, how can we support you? We already have a partnership with their food pantry, but my question to her was, what's next? And she was so filled with joy as she talked about their sports teams and their arts and their ESL program and all these things that she would love for us to get connected to. So we put $20,000 into our dream campaign to say, let's figure this out. How can we support South Lakes High School? How can we build more deeply into that community, which is part of our community? There seems to be this line in Reston between North and South Reston. And this is us stepping over that line and saying we want to be the church in the community that connects and supports and encourages. So part of that is for us to connect with South Lakes High School. Y'all, if these numbers seem big to you, they are. These are dreams over the next 3 years. And I went to a conference about a year ago, and it was talking about new churches. And it said, hey, new churches, if you're not dreaming big, you're not dreaming enough. God's dream is not a small dream for your church. God's dream is a big dream. And God wants us to do big things. And if our dreams all seem completely attainable, then they're not big enough. So when we started this thing, I sat down with some folks and we said, hey, how can we raise funds to reach some of these dreams? And originally our goal was $100,000. We sat down, we had a conversation. And some people said, we were talking, and they said, you need to dream bigger. You need your number to be bigger. So we said, all right, we'll go to $200,000 and see what happens. We're just opening this up now to the rest of the church. Some initial folks gave, and we're already almost at $170,000 of committed giving. Y'all, that is a huge number. We weren't dreaming big enough initially, and we're dreaming. If we go over $200,000, we'll keep dreaming, and we'll see what God calls us to do. So what I want to encourage you in is this week you're going to receive a card in the mail. If Restoration's a place that you call home, if it's your church, you'll receive a card in the mail. And that'll give you an opportunity to pray over and think over how you're going to connect with this over the next 3 years. If you're not going to be here next Sunday, which is when we're asking the cards to come back, it's okay. You can bring it back after that. But I want you to pray and say, God, what do you want me to write on that card? If the number's zero, that's okay. But I would love everybody to turn in a card, because I think everybody turning in a card says we're all praying about what God wants for our church, about what God wants us to do in this community, about how God wants us to connect deeply with those that are around us. The story of Pentecost is a story about the birth of the church, about the day that the Holy Spirit fell upon them. And it's a day that the church celebrates. We celebrated like 4 weeks ago when we were talking about the Holy Spirit, but today's the day that much of the rest of the church is celebrating. And it says in Acts chapter 2, near the end, and God added to their number daily. God added to their number because they were loving one another, because they were breaking bread together, because they were spending time together, and because they were caring for other people. I believe God's got something big for this church. And I cannot wait to see what happens. I cannot wait to see all that God does and all that we get to be a part of as we go through. Amen.